Welcome to the Eagles Nest Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter.
I hope you're okay with some of the children participating in our active worship style here. If they weren't related to me, I would still be okay with it. Now, if we had 45 of them running up here, we'd probably have to convene a meeting. But thank you. I don't know what was happening the day when Jesus said, hey, don't push the children away, let them come. But I'm glad that they're here. Father, will you bless the sharing of your word, and will you confirm your word with your presence overflowing, expressing your love in the form of every need that is here today being met in the name of Jesus. I'm asking God in advance to do in our midst what he's put on my heart and what he said he would do when believers gather together. And that's meet every need in Jesus' name. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Scripture says, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've been looking in the Word of God and being encouraged to look to Jesus, and no matter what circumstances you find yourself in this life. In 1 John chapter 1, I would like to share that with you and emphasize a second part of what John was talking about. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. And then he qualifies his statement, verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. We've been focusing on 1 John 1 through 4 for the last couple of times together, and I want to come to the third phrase, the second sense, which is the realm of sight. We've talked a little bit last week about that which we've heard, and hearing is important. John is clearly communicating that he was not only an eyewitness, but a ear hearer. He heard with his ear, and now he's telling us he's seen with his eyes. And we talked about the message of the general revelation of God that comes forth into all the earth. It's left every human being without an excuse, so that when they stand before God, there will be no hiding from him in that judgment of the believer, or judgment of every human being. The revelation of God's creation declares who he is. But then there's a specific revelation, a special revelation, a call, if you will, that comes to not only hear the Lord, but a call to know him. And John was talking about that. John the Baptist was a witness that heard a call and saw the man of God, or saw the Son of God and directed us to him. And he says here in his writings, behold the Lamb of God in John chapter 1 that takes away the sins of the world. And I want to talk about that message. The purpose of Jesus Christ coming to the earth was to establish the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God in the hearts of living men. And I don't want to confuse you with John the Baptist and John the gospel writer, but they're both saying the same thing. They came in contact with Jesus, and Jesus did something to them. He did something for them. He did something in them, and then he did something through them. And that's the goal of this summer's focus, is to activate your faith, your simple faith in Jesus Christ, where you're telling people, remember the first phrase of 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning. We tied it into Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. We tied it into John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God. And so I want to make sure that the source of my sharing, the source of my living, is coming out of the well of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the tree of life. He's the light of the world. He's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And so we want to appeal to that in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and then in chapter 6. The Scripture says, "Hear, O Israel." So we have heard. And in order to make sure that the message would go forth and it wasn't forgotten, the Lord would allow us to see things. There's a message that we need to take responsibility to share with our generation. We do that with those that we come in contact with. Well, you could call it witnessing, sharing the gospel, and that's important. And as I've been walking with the Lord and gone through different seasons of my life and watched the church come through different seasons, different outreach campaigns. I can remember in the 70s the I Found It campaign, and then the great Billy Graham outreaches. He was here in the 70s. He was here. We helped them, and we learned a great deal from them, and that's all well and good. But there's a part of the gospel that I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to do in your life. And that's partly what you get to see. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, this is similar to what it says in Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission. The Scripture says, "Go ye," Jesus is toward the end of his earthly days. He's about to leave, and he says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." Verse 17 of Mark chapter 16, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The signs that follow us are for people to see. They're for you to see. I want to talk about the miracle power of the Lord in the message of Jesus Christ that you and I have heard. We've heard because someone told it to us. Hearing is good, but I like the strength of hearing and seeing. In fact, this works in both ways. In Genesis chapter 3, if you remember the temptation of man, it said, the Scripture tells us this in Genesis chapter 3, "And the serpent said," so there's the auditory, "the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die." You remember the temptation. "For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw, so the enemy could speak and get her attention, but when the enemy got her to speak and see, he got her action. So it's one thing to hear a negative report, but then when they send you the diagnosis and you see, 95 out of 100 of these went this way, there's another level of fear that sets in. And let me keep on reading. "And when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise," she was listening to a lie, and then she was seeing the lie presented in a deceitful manner. And she put her guard down, and she took of the fruit and did eat. And then she gave to her husband with her. Notice the delegation of authority. It's working in reverse. What God meant for his kingdom to grow and be propagated by was completely subverted or inverted. It was working in a mirror. It wasn't supposed to work that way. We're supposed to hear God and then see him, and then do what he said to do, and that will work through me. Now, the same thing was working on the opposite end of the obedience spectrum. We call it disobedience, or we could call it sin. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So on the one hand, disobedience opens the eyes to see what you shouldn't be looking at. And I find that this kind of juxtaposition or contrast or laying this alongside of what John is telling us, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, that we declare unto you that this life was manifested among us. This isn't some celestial myth. He was here. Not only did I hear him, I saw him. Jesus came to be a sign that God's love was true. He came in human flesh so that we would have a greater opportunity to believe. And going back to the very first temptation, this process was in motion, and it was taking the direction of their faith toward disobedient activity, and that's what happened. And they knew that they were naked, you know, in the rest of the story. They sewed fig leaves together and hid themselves. And verse 8, this interesting thing is the auditory is still working, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking among the trees of the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where are you?" You know the story. "Well, I was afraid, and I hid myself." "Well, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree?" Well, God knew that. He wanted to see if Adam was going to be honest, and Adam was half honest. And so God was going to begin the plan of redemption, and I just wanted to point out that Eve heard, Eve saw, and Eve handled, and disaster entered into the human race. Well, if she wouldn't have, I would have. So thank God that Jesus came into the human race. But now let's move this toward the positive side. I want you to know that when you hear the gospel and believe, you're saved. You're the promise of eternal life. I don't care if you're still smoking, beating, drinking, speeding. I don't want to do any of that, but I want you to know this isn't a thing where you've got to earn your way to climb the ladder to get to heaven. Believing as a child, and Jude as a child, if he or Ariella, she just wants to jump. That's the kind of faith God's talking about. He's not talking about intellectual prowess. But there's some things that help faith, and one of them is seeing. If it worked that way to plunge the human race into sin and the resultant curse of disobedience, then wouldn't it be consistent with God to offer that same deliverance through the same process? Yes. So it's not only hearing the evangelical, ever-told, gospel memorized. It's also seeing the evidence of the gospel in supernatural signs, wonders, miracles, and evidence that can only come from God intervening in our daily lives. That's where I'm trying to go. In fact, the music industry understood this. When you, some of you, if you're over the golden age of 40, you know, if you can still raise your hand, you know, you remember when, or maybe even back then, I remember the 45s. Remember the 16s? You put it on a little, you play your little record over and over again, and the backside one was kind of a giveaway, throwaway song, and you got to learn that too. Well, that was in the olden days, and that only sold so much record. But I'll tell you, you want to move people? Do what, I don't know who started it, but I know that the Christian music industry is doing it. Put alongside of your music a video and call it a music video, and you'll get people to respond. In fact, and then let's take it a little farther. If you manipulate the video and show things that aren't even real as though they were, you'll manipulate people. You'll manipulate them to put ink on their skin, to put scars on their wrist. You'll manipulate them to buy cars. You'll manipulate them to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do, because not only are they hearing, but they're seeing. And we can do that with computer-generated imaging. It's faith in what they or how did I write it? Oh. You can make things that aren't as though they were. You can make Darth Vader or Spider-Man, and we've got a whole generation of little ones wearing the pajamas, climbing. I'm dreaming like, and it's like, wow, we've put this in front of them to not only hear but see, and they emulate that and follow after that. Well, guess what? Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, God said to Abraham, I know you're 75 years old, but in 25 years, I'm going to touch your procreation organ system and your wife, whose womb is dead, and I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He didn't see it, but God trained him to call things that were not as though they were. So I want to push the button on your jukebox for your videos to start energizing your faith, to start saying what God wants you to say and envision it, imagine it as it already was. You know what? I can already see Wayne like when he was in All-Star Wrestling. Some of you don't know him as long as I've known him. I remember his, you know, walking up, his time with Vern Gagne and the Crusher and all. He knew these guys. And I could just see, I already see Wayne in that prime, you know, 6'4" frame just walking around. He's not decrepit as the natural body is being pushed against by the pressures of age and Parkinson's. That's not who he is. And when I pull on his hand, I expect, okay, God, if it's today, I'm okay with that. But if it's not today, I'm still okay because I already have it. I'm living in the image of heaven all the time. And so must you. In fact, I believe, here, that's Romans 4:17. The music industry is doing it. Michael Jackson and all of these. Okay, we got the sound, now let's get the image. If we can get the image with the message, then we'll have the people. That's what the church needs. We can't just have the message. We've got to have the signs following, giving evidence to the message. Jesus said, what are you going to do with it? This is good stuff. Let me just see when I, okay, all right, this password is not the same as that password. Okay, oh, thank you, Emily. I sent that to that one. I'm still learning all this stuff. In fact, I'm learning the Apple MacBook. She's helping me, so thank you. That's forthcoming, but not today. But this is burning in me. Now, here, so Abraham is called to see something which is not yet appearing in order that God could train him and get him ready to have it. He was going to have it, and he had a son, two of them. He kind of got in the way there a little bit. I've gotten in the way of God a lot of times, and I just learned to make him the Lord of my failures as well as the Lord of the great things. But here, Mark 16 says that these signs will follow them that believe. Follow means that if it's behind me, I don't know that I'm so much looking back there talking to my past. Here's what I can see coming emerging in this, that when we pray, God registers those prayers. You have it, Abraham, because I spoke it. Or if I have the power of attorney, then what I speak in the will of God is done if I believe. And it'll come following me when he comes. And guess who else is following? It'll be done in goodness. It'll be done in mercy. But it'll be done. I want to invite you to begin to ask God to activate the signs following your life. It's good to hear and it's good to say. In fact, when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi up there by the headwaters of the Jordan River, do you remember what he said? He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he was kind of probing his 12. Then everyone else was there, but then, well, you know, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, risen from the dead, and Jesus kind of, or a good prophet, cut through. But who do you? And here's what I want to get to. Who do you say that Jesus is? And Peter, we know what he said. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. Well, how did Peter get that revelation? What Ian's saying, he tasted and he saw the Lord's goodness. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the scripture says of Jesus, by Luke, the writer, how Jesus went about doing good, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, Jesus wasn't there anymore, and I can tell you that what was working in Jesus didn't always work in Peter, because you remember along with me that Peter cursed the Lord and denied him, but God didn't hold that against him. He worked that out of him. So if there's any part in you that's resistant to the realm of the supernatural, which gives evidence to God's reality, now God doesn't have to do it, but he does it for us. When the voice came from heaven, when Jesus was getting ready to raise his friend Lazarus, who'd been dead 4 days, I honestly believe, I go on record before you, I believe that God raises the dead. He said he does. I believe that he'll do it through my life when the time is right and when the anointing is there to do it. I pray as if that anointing is here right now. I've been in 5 situations already where they said, "Will you please come? Death occurred unnaturally, out of time. We don't agree with it." And I said, "I don't either. Let's believe." Well, it hasn't happened in my touch yet, but that doesn't diminish my faith that it shall be that way. Amen. Okay? And so Peter got a hold of this, and on the day of Pentecost, something activated in his life. He heard the words, but now he was ready to do something with them. So Peter heard the words of Jesus, and then Peter did the works of Jesus. And in the Gate Beautiful, on the day or so after Pentecost, he said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And a guy that was lame for years rose up and walked. So teaching is good and of the utmost importance. But we're coming into a season. In fact, the season is here. That the evidence of the supernatural intervention from God, not supernatural for supernatural, not 1-800 dial up a prayer or dial up a psychic, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus Christ confirming his word through a human believer with signs that are other than you could do by yourself. He heals the sick, he raises the dead, he opens blind eyes, and teaching is good. And teaching is of the utmost importance. But on the other hand, say on the other hand. On the other hand, there was a withered hand that because signs followed Jesus' words, that withered hand stretched forth. On the other hand, there's a blind man that can see for the first time because God was honoring Jesus and confirming the word that he was preaching. And may I also say that Jesus was living right. I know of, signs following in our generation, and that's important. It is also important to add to your life the character of the gospel, to live becoming the gospel, to follow the ways of the Lord and to do what Jesus said to do. See, our gospel record is the story of the life of Jesus, and that's important, but just as important, it's a story of signs following words that were spoken according to the will of God. So following Jesus is the way to a natural life with the Lord and with supernatural interventions. And I'm praying that God will do that. Listen to this toward the end of Jesus' life. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Jesus was down in the Jordan Valley and he's heading up toward Jerusalem. In Mark 10, and they came to Jericho. That's the little city over there toward the hillside of the wilderness. And he came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people followed him, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, so he heard about it. He heard about his reputation. He'd been there. This was actually the last time season Jesus would be going to Jerusalem. So he was 33-ish years old. Many charged blind Bartimaeus, don't bother Jesus. He's crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they said, "Leave him alone." And then he cried all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I like what he's saying here. It's like he's making the connection. I've heard about him. And there's some things in my life, don't miss this, there's some things in my life where mercy needs to cover. He's not even asking for his need. He's, Lord, I want to be right with you. And Jesus stops. Bring him. I'm just speaking that prophetically through my life. I speak that over the beautiful Muslim family that was in our prayer meeting here on Friday night as we blessed them with the Word of God and showed them the good works that this church is doing by feeding people. They said, could we volunteer and help? I said, well, sure. And you know, that's another story. But the mercy of God was the touchstone here. There's blind people. There's people incarcerated. There's people that need healing. And this guy stops Jesus by saying, Lord, may I have mercy? Will you join me in just lifting a hand for the mercy of God? What will God do today if his mercy overflows this place? Amen. I just saw, Stu, will you come and help me on the organ? I want to release a miracle environment here. I want to encourage you. I'm being encouraged as I'm talking to people. Well, you know, there's churches everywhere there. When I was helping the Billy Graham people, I remember our church helped them. Remember Bob Paulson, their photographer here? He put Mitchell on their cover and told a fake story about him. I'll tell you, seeing and hearing is important. They wanted his image, and they even manipulated it was a fictitious story they put about Mitch. But they wanted to use that. Blind Bartimaeus is calling out. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he cast the garment away and rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what will you that I should do unto you? Now that's interesting. God wants us to engage. Your message on Asa, God wants you to ask. If you go visit Wayne, be sorrowful, be tender and appropriate, but hold on to Jesus. John said, I want to tell you about what was from the beginning that I've heard, that I've seen, and that I've looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. I'm declaring unto him why, so that you can have fellowship with me, because I have fellowship with Jesus. The reason why we're reaching out to these people is so they can have fellowship with us, ultimately with Jesus. And that's the core of the gospel. Jesus heard that he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say made you see. I think the mercy thing was instantaneous. I can just see him. Wow, I feel so good on the inside. Isn't it good to be at church when you're singing a great song or someone ministers to you and God touches you? You feel like you could conquer the world, and we're supposed to. Jesus said, go your way, your faith made you whole. Immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus in the way. I think Mark was a fast runner. I think as the youngest of the gospel writers, I think that he made it to things. He had the Instagram, he had the Twitter account, he had Facebook. He had them all going like multiple screens. He knew what was happening, and he would catch these things. And so as you're moving through life, I want to invite you to invite Jesus. Lord, I need to see a miracle today. We need miracles to confirm our faith. Anybody ever get weary? I was just over with our dear sister Kathy the other day and their beloved families here. You can carry a load and weary, get weary. And all of a sudden, a miracle comes. And the weariness is gone. Miracles answer prayers. Miracles move mountains that couldn't otherwise not be moved. Miracles open the Red Sea that would otherwise hinder our positive or our motion forward. And may I just, for completeness sake, there's negative miracles as well as positive miracles. I would hasten to say that the 10 plagues were miraculous interventions. God can and does use natural elements. But he reserves the right, you know, the boils, the plagues, the fire, the darkness. The enemy has found the value of seeing and hearing, and we want to access that realm. So I have this little, did anyone see a miracle lately? I'm going to be calling on my elders to come. I don't want to share their miracle. I want them to do it. When we were in North Carolina, we had supernatural intervention from the team that I've raised up. As they're baptizing in the Atlantic Ocean, the word of the Lord came to them. Everybody didn't hear it. I was preaching, but you heard. I want you to talk about that because miracles beget miracles. If all we do is preach a message, an auditory word, it can grow stale and appear old. Now, it's not, but it can appear that way. If there was no tree there for Eve to see and feel, maybe, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not listening to take that fruit. But when she heard it and then saw it and felt it, well, I'm all ready. And then the next step is taken. And so I appeal to the, not the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is the love of God to share with all the cosmos, including people. But the evidence of the gospel, the evidence of the gospel is not that Jesus lived and died. The evidence of the gospel is people following Jesus. Jesus was here. The Gospels didn't prove that. He was here. They just wrote about it. Peter, this one guy that denied him and followed him and then launched out with the revelation and began to see Jesus moving. This is, here, does anyone see a miracle? Does anyone see one? Does anyone have one? Are you in the midst of one? Our dear sister Desiree, one of our intercessors and worshipers and leaders here, saw a vision of a miracle, of finances being provided. Now, I didn't have that. You had that. But I'm going to call on you to start sharing some of these things so it's not one voice, not just one auditory message. We had words of knowledge confirmed with people weeping where God just whispers in your ear, this is what's happening here. You're not aware of it, but I want you to be aware of it because this prayer came from this part of the country or from my family, and I want to help them today through you. Jesus uses people to help people. Peter said, Lord, as he's answering the Jewish leaders that put Jesus on the cross in Acts chapter 4, he gives them a very clear presentation. He's not afraid anymore. He's not denying Jesus. He said, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy servant Jesus, whom God had anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, so all included, were gathered together for to do whatsoever God's hand and predetermined counsel allowed to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Here's Peter's prayer. This is what I want you to do. If you've ever gotten, well, I prayed and God didn't heal them, or you know, they died of cancer anyway, and oh boy, it just made me feel all embarrassed. Here's what happened when similar circumstances in the early church. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold whose threatenings? The Jews said, if you keep talking like Jesus, we're going to give you the same end. And so instead of running away, Peter says, behold their threatenings. And grant unto your servants with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the holy name of Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 5 goes on, and this was just the beginning. What was working in Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful now was stirring among the people. And the people were getting a hold of it. And it says, by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. This is the formerly fearful, or like Thomas, unless I see, I won't believe. Now they're hearing and seeing and believing and doing the same works. It says that they abode a long time, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord, giving testimony to the word of his grace, and God granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, but part went with the apostles. If you're waiting for a complete, unanimous, all in favor of miracles, aye, no nays, that will never come. There will always be the division of light and darkness. Remember, God hovered over the darkness and spoke, let there be light. I want to invite you to rise to your feet and just see the miracle that you need right now. There isn't a person in here that doesn't need something to happen in their own life. Lord, will you release that presence from on high? There's those among us that have heard. I remember Mitch's sermon a couple of weeks ago talking about Miss Diane Miller. I was there when they came home from the hospital. And Dale, the husband, was overcome with emotion, couldn't even talk. And Diane said, I've got 6 weeks to live. Said the doctor. Well, she's still here, and the Lord intervened. Amen. That was years ago. Lord, I speak these signs following. I speak the gifts of the Spirit that reside in us because the giver of the gifts resides in us. Lord, will you begin to present the gift and unwrap its contents? Will you release gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles? Will you release the gifts of wisdom, the word of knowledge? Will you release the gift of speaking in tongues and the interpretation of what the Holy Spirit is saying right now, like you did on that water baptism in the Atlantic Ocean? Will you begin to pour out a spirit of comfort and consolation on hearts that are broken? Would you begin to let us taste, Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see. Let's say, I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to taste, I want to see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I can't give you mine, and I can't have yours. But if you need a miracle, I invite you just to raise your hands. I want to speak the anointing of the Lord Jesus that said, now go forth and preach the gospel in every nation. Heal the sick that are in. Declare that the kingdom of God has come. We bring Jesus to people. We bring the light and the glory of the Lord's love in the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's a forgiver of sins. Lord, let mercy begin to overflow. Let it be our message. God loves you. God has the answer. Would it be okay if I prayed with you about that? You might even offer to take their hand or put your hand on their shoulder. Taste and see and handle the Lord's goodness. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this table, this altar, as it were, is open and inviting all to come. Whosoever will may come. And whosoever is thirsty, let him drink of the water of life freely. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as the psalmists and worship leaders were declaring in the beginning, may the joy of the Lord begin to overflow. Romans, I believe it's 5:12. Now the God of hope fill you. Or 12:8, now the God of hope fill you. This is my prayer for this congregation. And Stu, you just have a prayer of invitation and worship, of thanking Jesus. How about that? All my fountains are in you. Everything that we need is in Jesus. And I'm praying that fountain right now, that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your believing. Even if someone's stepping out of this earthly life into the heavenly, everlasting kingdom, we do it with hope. The power of the resurrection, the love of Jesus Christ, the fellowship of believers. We are filled with this hope, Lord, with all joy and peace in our believing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not man's words, but in demonstration and power. I expect and I anticipate. God, you want to put this on my heart. It's so simple, but we're moving away from the didactic, the dry teaching, the memorization to, Lord, will you do something right here, right now? Thank you, God. If you need healing in your body, as Stu sings this song, focusing on the source of all things as the fountain of the Lord out of Psalm 87. You just come and I want to put my hand on you and pray, and I want to invite my elders too if there's time. Thank you. With signs following, will you confirm our commitment to follow you, Jesus? In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to a recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter. Please visit EaglesNestChurch.net for more information.